So Matthew 28, 18, 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and Hebrews 10, but Matthew 28 to start with. Somewhere in the 90s, a movie-producing company named Pixar started making some movies, and one of its earliest movies is called A Bug's Life, and there is a short clip, and you might, when we watch it, wonder what in the world it has to do with what will be said today, but it'll come to you in a moment. So Bonnie, if you have that.
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Those ants outnumber us 100 to 1. I think sometimes we don't realize, and we say statements like there's strength in numbers. Okay. We know that in that video, ants in comparison to a grasshopper is significantly smaller and weaker unless you amass the numbers. And the same is true with people. The more numbers, the more people you have in your life, the greater strength that there is for your life. And you might find yourself wrestling with things that you didn't realize was linked to the amount of people that you do or do not have in your life. Some of you are wrestling with depression or sense of lack of purpose, or you're struggling with health issues, or you just don't know what to do with life, or you have some anxiety things, or maybe your relationship with the Lord isn't what you would like it to be. You long to be close to God, but it's just not there, or you're wrestling with different sin things. And I don't know if you know this, but there are times that all of those things are directly linked to whether or not you are a part of a group and the way that you are a part of the group. Now, you might ask yourself, well, what is being a part of a group have to do with Easter Sunday? Don't you know that on Easter you're supposed to preach about the resurrection, right? And you're supposed to preach about the cross and the ascension. What does being a part of the group have to do with the resurrection? Well, if you've ever read Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that Jesus died. Do you know why he died? So that he might sanctify the church. You know who the church is? You see, Jesus didn't just die for you. He did die for you. But Jesus died for the group. Jesus died for the whole family of God. And not only did he die for each one individually to be delivered from sin and dwell in heaven, but Jesus died so that he can create us as one church to present, as Paul says, to him in the second coming as a glorious church. That's why when Jesus went to that cross, when he lived a sinless life, when he did all the work that he did, when he rose from the dead, it was to make us be a church, to make us be a group. And when we don't become a part of the group, we miss out. Not only do we miss out from all the ingredients of the essential things that are necessary for us to thrive, because I don't know if you believe this, but living the way Jesus told you to live is the best way to thrive. Did you know that? If you live the way Jesus tells you to live, it's the best way to thrive. He made you. He knows the way he designed you, and he designed you to be a part of a group. Now, why? Why do I want to be a part of a group? Why would I be a part of a church? Why would I want to? Because there's mean people out there. There's mean people inside this room. I'm not going to name any names. But there are some people in this room that are mean people. Molly's getting nervous as I'm walking towards her. She said it's not me, so I thought I'd try to pick on her a little bit. Actually, chances are there's people in this room that are different for each one of us. Chances are you, me, I might be the mean person in this room. You might have been hurt by somebody in this room. And when we experience let down by somebody in this room, have you ever been let down, disappointed by people? Okay? Because we're all fractured, we're all broken, we're all incomplete, we're all struggling and wrestling through different things, and we don't have perfection to offer. But Jesus wasn't saying that in the group you'd have everything perfectly. He wasn't saying in the group you'd never be let down, but he said that in the group there is power to be found if we're with the group. So then what is it that I'm going to find if I'm a part of the group? Well, when Jesus completed his work and was prepared to ascend into heaven, he issued something that we give a name to it. We call it the Great Commission. So I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus did all that he did, and all the climax of what we're celebrating today, he did all of that, and then when he finished it, he said this statement to us. You ready? It says in Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18, and Jesus came up and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus died. Jesus rose from the dead. And then when he prepared to ascend, he said, "Now that I did that, here's what I want you to do. Go and make disciples. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, here's something interesting about the Lord. Did you know that God is what we call omnipresent? He's everywhere. Okay, there's not a place that God doesn't exist. And yet, for some reason, have you ever heard, and maybe I said that this morning when I prayed, we asked the Lord to be with us. Okay, we asked the Lord to come and dwell with us. Is that an unbiblical thing to ask? If he's already here, why would we ask that? Now think about Moses. Moses said, "Unless you go with me, I will not go." So what was he asking for? Because God, how could God not be with Moses? Because God is everywhere present. Well, have you ever been with somebody and they were physically with you, and the way they were physically with you was like this? Or like this? Why are your arms crossed? I'm just cold. And they're not talking. They're not saying anything. They're not receptive. They're just cold. Now, I want you to think about how you feel in the presence of that individual. Do you feel close to that person? Do you feel like they're with you? Have you ever felt like someone was with you in body, but they weren't with you? Contrast to when they're open and they're warm and they've got their arm around your shoulder and they're loving and they're talking and they're listening to you and they're sharing the emotions and the feelings that you have, and then you feel that they are with you. In both examples, the human being, the body, is with you, but there's something different. And that's the unique difference between the presence of God, is he is always with us, but some presence is way more special than it is at other times. Sometimes we feel his presence on us more so than we do at other times. Sometimes we feel connected to him, closer to him, more than we do at other times. What is it that causes that deeper connection with the Lord? Well, right here we see that Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, and lo, I am with you." Now, he doesn't just say that he's always with you. Well, he does, but he connects it to when you're doing the work of God's kingdom. Now, if you turn there, Matthew 18, there's some statements in there in Matthew 18, beginning at verse 15. And he also, in Matthew 15, this is where Jesus says, do you guys know this line? "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." I thought God can be with me when I'm alone, right? Yes, absolutely, God can be with me when I'm alone. But there's something uniquely different when I am with other believers, gathering together with other people. There is a deeper depth of intimacy with God. And I don't know if that necessarily means that it's only when you're in this room or only when you're with those people, but something happens in my connection with the Lord when I'm gathered with other people. Well, what is it that Jesus is specifically saying when he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them? You know what he was saying just a couple of verses before? If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. If he does not listen to you, take two or three more with you, so that by the fact of every witness, every fact may be confirmed. If they don't listen to them, tell it to the church. And then he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, where do you think he's getting the two or three from? The two or the three are the individuals that are coming together to hold somebody accountable. If you begin to operate in the body of Christ where you are attempting to hold one another accountable. Now, that doesn't mean that you meet with somebody like Molly and say, Molly, we need to talk. Here's my list of things that I don't like about you. That's not what accountability means. Nor does it also mean that every time I see an issue in somebody's life, I need to be the one that addresses that issue. However, if you are not ever holding anybody accountable or allowing somebody else to hold you accountable to, are you living according to God's word? Are you trusting in him? Are you living the way he would have you to live? Are you seeking him? If we don't have that happening, then there's something missing in our relationship with the Lord. When we seek together, not just because we came into a room, it's Easter Sunday, so you're supposed to go to church, and you're supposed to sit in the chairs, and you're supposed to sing some songs, and then go out to lunch afterwards. Not just because of that, but because we have built relationships with one another in which we try to hold each other accountable. And if you're wondering, why do I not feel close to the Lord? I wonder, are you engaged in the group the way he said, if you engage in the group where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so there needs to be an accountability. But also he says that in that same passage, he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Do you remember just a couple weeks ago, we were looking at Matthew 6, and the prayer, the Lord's prayer, is on earth as it is in heaven, and we're praying for his will to be done. And in the context of that, he's telling us we are salt and light. If you want to find God in your midst powerfully, because I'm telling you, I've never felt the Lord's presence more powerfully than when I'm doing what he's telling me to do. Especially when I'm ministering to somebody. And I want you to know that ministry isn't just preaching in front of a group. When you're consoling somebody, when you're comforting somebody, when you're encouraging someone, when you're persuading someone to move forward in their walk with the Lord, when you're doing the work, when you're sharing your faith with someone, when you're facing temptation and you're refusing to give into it, I'm telling you, it's when we are doing God's mission, that's when we start to feel more of the presence of God in our lives. And you feel empty. You feel disconnected. You feel a lack of purpose. You feel like God's not working in your life. I wonder if it might be because you're not attempting to do the work that he told us to do, that in the midst of telling us to do the work, he says, lo, I am with you always. In the midst of doing the work, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He is present in us. In accountability, in mission. And then in verse 19 of Matthew 18, he says, if two of you agree in my name, it will be done. And then he says, where two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Does that mean that I need to agree with everything that Helen believes? No, it does not mean that. Does that mean that I need to see everything Sean's way? I certainly hope not. Then what does he mean by agree? It's not that we agree on everything, but we agree on the important things. We have come into this place because we agree that Jesus is the Lord God of the universe. We are in this place because we believe that Jesus saves, and the only way to salvation, to heaven, is to go through the door of Jesus Christ. We believe that the Bible is God's infallible, God-inspired word. We believe that we're called to live a life without sin, though we know that God is gracious enough to forgive us when we fall. We believe those things. We believe that we're supposed to be a part of the body of Christ carrying out his mission. We might disagree on a lot of things, but we agree on the important things. And when we come together and we begin to gather, because I'm telling you, it feels much better. Have you ever been in a room full of people that disagree with you and passionately, and they're against you and they're telling you how much they disagree with you? Doesn't that give you warm and fuzzy feelings inside? Don't you leave that feeling energized? Now, some of us who like to argue do feel energized when they're in that kind of room, but most of us are not that way. But when we are in a group of people, with a group of people, when we know that they're with me, they've got my back, we're on the same side, we might see things from different angles at times, but we're on the same page as one another, there is a presence that is felt in that. And Jesus is saying, not simply, I'm with you always, and it doesn't matter if you're sinning, it doesn't matter if you're walking away from me, it doesn't matter what you're doing, I'm always with you. Does that mean he's not always present with us? No, but there's a difference between walking in God's plan for your life, which involves being a part of the group, than doing it your own way. And I wonder, when I feel disconnected, when I feel empty, when I feel powerless, I wonder why that is when we're choosing not to be doing the things that God has called us to do. Why should I be a part of the church group? Because in there I find intimacy with God. In there I also find purpose. He called us in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them. He's called us to be teachers. Did you know that wasn't just for me? Did you know that? Now, I might have a certain form that you don't have, but every one of us is called to teach others. That doesn't mean in a classroom setting. Doesn't mean you need to go around and start lecturing people. Don't you love when people lecture you? Isn't that great? No? We don't need to lecture people, but we can have conversations. We can encourage and propel somebody forward. God has called us to teach. He's called us to do something. He's called us to have purpose. And some of you that feel depressed, a lot of times depression is when you feel life is useless. There's nothing good about life. There's no use for it. But if you know that you have purpose, that sends that kind of depression and stuff packing. Well, how do I find purpose in the presence of God? This is where we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians 12 and grab a few statements from there. In 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul's describing the way the body of Christ should be functioning, he says to each, in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Are you a human being? Anybody care to admit that you're a human being this morning? Okay, just checking. Some of you didn't raise your hands, so we're wondering if there's really alien life on this planet. Okay, but I think we're all human beings in here. If you are a living, breathing human being, God has placed abilities, talents, and skills, know-how inside of you. He has even done that in unbelievers. They just can't use the gifts yet because they haven't been awakened to it yet. But God has placed abilities, and he's designed a purpose for your life. And he's designed it for you to accomplish the good for other people, to do good to other people. And you know what? You can't find out what that is. You can't know what you're good with if you aren't with people. How can you do good for other people if you're packed up inside your house all by yourself, staying away from everybody? Well, I post a bunch of Bible verses on Facebook, so I know I'm doing good for people. I post a lot of good things on social media, so I know. Why is it so quiet? You guys really believe that that's what ministry is. That can include that. But if all of your doing good for other people is just online, I mean, how many of you, when you're really suffering and going through it and someone wants to console you, it feels way better for them to do it over the phone than for them to be present with you and giving you a hug? Would you say, I'd rather just, let me not ask that. Some of you would rather just to be left alone. But if you begin to get with people and begin to do things, begin to try things out, sometimes people have asked me, how do I know what my spiritual gifts are? Do something. See what happens. Well, but what if that's not my gift? Doesn't matter. Do it and you'll find out it's not your gift. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't find your purpose because your purpose is to do good to other people. You can't find that purpose if you're not with a group of people. You can't. At least not God's God-given purpose for your life. And if you get with the group, you will begin to discover what your purpose is. Well, you might say, well, I come to church every Sunday and I found out what my purpose was. Do you come to church every Sunday like this? Stand, sit, stand again, sit, clap some, say a prayer. And some of you leave church like this, which I love it. Some of you leave church like this. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you. Good to see you today. Hey, Becca, wonderful to see you. So glad you're here. Crystal, how's it going? Good to see you. Yeah, Pound, Josh, awesome. Some of you leave church like this. You ready? I'm going to be right here. Some of you leave church like this. We say amen. You ready for this? Amen. And we're asking, our attendance table back there is asking, was so-and-so here? I'm not sure. It was a blur. You can't find your, because you can be in a crowd of people and still be invisible. You can be in a crowd of people, just like God's presence is different depending on what's going on. He might be there, but it might not be felt. You can be present physically with a group, but not actually present with the group. You can't find the purpose that God has for your life if you're not encountering people. And you might say, but you don't understand, I'm an introvert. I can't do that kind of thing. Guess what? You know what I am? An introvert. You can do those things. You will not find your purpose apart from the body of Christ, apart from the church. That's what I find in the church. I find my skills. Then I find in verses 14 and 19, Paul says, if all were a, and he gives different body parts, if all were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If all were an ear, where would the sense of hearing be? And so forth. What did I say it wrong? Yeah, I said it wrong. It's okay. You can fill in the blanks. But his point is that all of us are different, and all of us have different abilities. And God's intention was never the American dream in the sense that I can do it all on my own. God's intention in the group, and this is why we often fail on our own, because we don't have in ourselves the abilities to meet all our needs. In ourselves, we don't have the ability to make everything happen. We don't. Because God designed us to have all that we need and all the abilities that we need in the group. So if I find myself in a group of people, then I find that I have my needs met. Then I find that I'm a part of a team. Just like those ants, if you're walking down a dark alley somewhere by yourself, defenseless, you feel a little more nervous than if you're walking down, imagine walking down a dark alley with a parade of 30 or 40 or 50 people. Okay? There's a lot less fear in that context. Why? Because any of these people are strong. Have you ever wondered that? Anybody ever get scared at night if you're in a home all by yourself versus if there's someone there? And it could be a three-year-old child is in your house with you and you don't feel as scared for some reason. I don't know why that is. But it's because when we are with people, when we have a team that are on our side, it feels so much better to know that we're on a part of a team. And did you know we're a part of a team? The Bible doesn't use that terminology per se, but it works like a team. If we know that they're on my side and I'm on their side and yeah, they're doing something over there that I can't do, but they're making something happen and I'm over here doing something that they can't do and I'm making something happen because of God's grace working through me. And if I realize that that's taking place and I'm a part of a team, it's so much more strength when we have team. Could you imagine a quarterback having no offensive line in front of him? Yeah, it doesn't go well if he has a weak offensive line. But we never notice the offensive line because we only notice them when they miss a block or something. There is strength in the team. And if you want to find what your purpose is, not only do you need to be in the group, not only do you need to be doing things, but you need to be engaged in the team. And then thirdly, under there, I receive mutual benefits in the group. Paul says if one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member rejoices, all rejoice with it. And I think that sometimes we get wrapped up maybe in our own personal benefit of that means that I have someone to support me, and that's true. But I think sometimes we miss that that means that I get to support somebody else also. When somebody else is hurting, I get to be there for them. When somebody else is rejoicing, I get to celebrate with them. And can you imagine being in a group like that in which we're sharing each other's gifts and needs and burdens, and not one person is carrying all the load, but all of us are sharing those things together, and we gain from that. Now, do we get hurt sometimes? Does sometimes somebody insult me or say something that I don't like or hurts my feelings or disappoints me? Absolutely. There are all kinds of headaches inside of a group. You know, that's why we love our families, right? But when you're dying, when you're thinking you're dying, who are the first people you start thinking about needing to be with? Your family. Because even though there's headaches and aches and pains and frustrations with the people in our lives, it is so much more powerful with them there than without them. Because we have mutual, and not only is it powerful because we have them, but we get to contribute to them. And we find a purpose. But you can't have that if you're not a part of a group. And this is why atheists today, I don't know if you know this, but atheists are wrestling and wrestling and wrestling with all the statistic findings that say that people who have faith, people who are part of a religious organization or body, those people have so much more sense of purpose and joy and delight in life than anybody who's outside of that. And they're trying to find anything other than faith to substitute it with because they don't want to accept that. But they're realizing that the truth is we are so far better off if we're in the group. So why in the world should I go to church then? I think there's plenty of reasons for us to be a part of the church. Because inside the church, inside the group, I find intimacy with God, purpose, and lastly, I find support. In Hebrews 10, we are given instructions in verse 24 and 25 to stir up one another to love and good works. Deep down inside, I know you want to be a good person. It's why you feel guilty when you fail at things like that. Deep down inside, you want to be fearless. You want to be bold. Deep down inside, you want to be kind and patient, Christ-like. Deep down inside, we want to be that. But we keep struggling to be that. I think sometimes that's because we're trying to do it by ourselves. I'm not trying to do it by myself. I'm asking Jesus to help me. Jesus wanted to help you through the body of Christ. Can he help you without the body of Christ? Absolutely. But I'm telling you, didn't you just say earlier, you believe if we lived the way Jesus told us to live, it'd be better off for us, right? Jesus told us to live inside the body of Christ. He told me to share. He told me to confess my sins. He told me to love on and pray for and minister to. He told me to do those things. And if I am a part of the group, I find that support and that encouragement. And are you saying you would turn that down? And you find encouragement for what? To be a better person. Can anybody raise your hand and say that there's somebody in this room that just by observing them, they've made you a better person? Anybody? Okay, good. Anybody in this room can say there's somebody in this room that has inspired you to be a better person just by observing them. They didn't correct you. They didn't say anything to you. They didn't lecture you. But because of being around them, they've made you be a better person. That's the power of the group. You don't have that by yourself. Those of you that are streaming with us, we're so glad you're with us. But it's not the same as when you're in this building with other people. There is an inspiration to be a better person. I am a better pastor because of you. I am a better husband because of Heather. You are better parents because of being in the group. And if you want to be that, you got to deal with some of the frustrations of being with other people that fail us sometimes. But there is so much more strength and power in the group. And Jesus died to make this a reality. Why wouldn't we take him up on the offer that he has? Because we have support to grow as a person. We have support through shared goals. We are supposed to do this whole process, to meet together, to not neglect the assembling of the saints until as the day is drawing near. We are getting together. We're not just a social club. Did you know that? Okay. We're not just supposed to be hanging out, though we do that. We're not just supposed to get together and have fun. We're not supposed to get together just to have friends. We are getting together because we have a designed purpose, and that is that we are waiting for Jesus to come back. And we are trying to encourage everybody to be ready for that. And if we die before he comes back, then we're just waiting for Jesus to take us home, okay? Because we don't belong here. And we are getting together because we have a shared sense of values and goals. And there is so much power in that. Because I'm telling you, if you go out there into the world, and we need to go out there into the world, but when you're out there in the world facing a bunch of people who don't believe like you, don't think like you, doubts start to creep in. And insecurities start to happen because, you know, I thought I was doing the right thing until I was around these people. But there is power and faith increasing inside of us when we are around people who have shared goals. But the thing is, you don't know what our shared goals are if we're not talking with each other, if we're not sharing with one another. It's not just simply attending church. We have to actually be engaged. And then lastly, he says to encourage one another in verse 25 of Hebrews 10. Sometimes people say things to me and they're perfect examples in the negative of some of what's being said. I sometimes wonder if I should or shouldn't share it. Did you say don't, Heather? You have no idea what the person sitting next to you is going through. Did you know that? You know some of it, but you don't know the total picture of it. And I think sometimes in the Christian community, and we've seen this, we kind of had a pendulum swing where we used to be hypercritical within the body of Christ. Did you ever feel criticized in the body of Christ? Okay, hypercritical. And we realized that needed corrected, and we swung a pendulum to go all the way to the other side where we just don't ever correct anything, and that's not good either. But did you know that the primary goal isn't for us to come together and, like I said, list all of Molly's faults, which you can text me today and let me know what they are, and we'll deal with her later. Because I'm actually curious, because I don't see any of those faults, but... There we go. Okay, got a little bit positive there. But I want you to think about something. Our primary reason to come together, and that's why we see it peppered throughout the New Testament, is to encourage one another. To get together and say, you can do this. You need Jesus' help? Absolutely. But you can persevere through this. You can be a better parent. You can be a better spouse. You can be a better coworker, employee. You can push through the physical pain. You can push through the emotional pain. You can. I know you feel like giving up on life. You ever feel like giving up on life sometimes? Okay. Does it help when you get all by yourself and drown your sorrows in sweets and cookies and all kinds of things like that? For a little bit, but then the next morning you don't feel so great. Okay. You survive better when you jump inside of the group. An imperfect, stumbling, struggling at times group is much better than no group at all. And just like those ants on that video, imagine those grasshoppers being the enemy that we face. He tries to get us isolated and believing that no one else knows what I'm going through, no one else has been struggling with what I'm struggling with, and I should just conquer it all on my own because I can't trust anybody. And he isolates you because he knows you're weaker there. You know what terrifies the enemy? When a bunch of believers come together and say, and we're on the same page. I don't like that person sometimes. They irritate me sometimes, but we're on the same page. And we're going to come together, and we're going to stick it out, and we're going to support each other, and we're going to do something for each other, and we're going to see great things happen. The enemy is terrified about that. And why are you letting him fool you? Jesus, we're celebrating today. Jesus is conquering over death. He did all that work to make you be a part of the body. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Why should I be a part of church? And no, church isn't this building. We know that. And yet we use the building for the gathering of church. No, church isn't a religious organization. Church is you and I and all of us collectively when we're together. And Jesus is calling you to be a part of that. And in the midst of you wondering why you feel distant with the Lord, in the midst of you wondering why you keep struggling and stumbling into the sins or failing at the fruit of the Spirit the way that you are, I would look first at how am I engaged in the body of Christ? Am I attending regularly? Am I involved in a small group? Am I building relationships? Am I going to activities? Do you have to go to everything? No, but you need to go to some things. You need to be connected. Am I serving in some capacity? If not, I wonder if that might be the reason why there's an emptiness that's there. And Joe, you guys can begin to pray. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment. heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you would say, you know what? Jesus died so I can have the body of Christ, so I can be a part of that. And beautifully, gloriously a part of that. Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus came to this earth to deal with the headaches that we deal with. Jesus, after 3 days, conquered death and rose from the dead. And Jesus did all of that so that I can be a part of the body of Christ. And I'm tired of missing out on all the ingredients and the nutrients and all the values and the benefits that are available for me being a part of the group. And heads bowed and eyes closed today, and you'd say, today, I'm deciding that I want that to be different. I'm going to start being a part of the group. Whether that means your next step is just simply to start attending, whether that means your next step is just simply to start serving or getting involved, whatever it is for you, if you are recognizing that I am not connected to the body of Christ the way that I should, and I want that to change today. If that's you, heads bowed and eyes closed, you would lift your hand and say, that's me. Good. Anybody else? I'm making that commitment to plunge further ahead into the group. Anybody else? Good. Come on. I'd like to pray with you. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? I want to plunge into the group. Come on. Anybody else? I might be scared because I know they're going to let me down sometimes, but I know that it's much better in there than out. Again, if that's you, I want to be a part of the group. Just lift your hand. Good. See that hand. Good. Anybody else? Head still bowed, eyes still closed. You're here this morning, and you'd say, well, part of the group, I don't even know if I'm a part of Christ. I believe he existed. I believe that he rose from the dead, but I've never really trusted him with my life, with my eternity. And I'd like to do that today. What greater day to be resurrected than on Resurrection Day? And heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd say, you know, I've not put my life in his hands, but I'm going to start doing it today, and I'd like help. If that's you, would you lift your hand? See, that's me. Good. Anybody else? I'm going to begin trusting my life to Jesus today. Good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you see these hands. You even see the hands that weren't raised because you see into our hearts. And for those that are expressing that they want to plunge all in to the church that you died for us to become a part of, I ask that you would help them to do that. That you would give them the assurance they need, the push that they need, to know that even though there might be problems and challenges and difficulties in that group, I know I'm going to be better in there because Jesus told me to get in. And I ask that you would help them to find their way. Help us as a church to support them to find their way to plug into the life of the body of Christ. And as they do that, may you, because sometimes, Lord, we need a little help. Sometimes we need things to go well for a little bit in the beginning so that we can have our faith built up. So as they do that, I ask that you would begin to allow things to start to happen that they didn't have happen before. That you would begin to deepen the felt presence of God within them. That you would begin to deepen the sense of power and victory in their lives. That you would begin to overwhelm them with the peace and joy of the Lord. And for those that express their desire to today put their trust and surrender in their lives to you and following you, I ask, Lord, that you would come alongside them, that you would urge them to not just make this a, I did that, now I'm moving on, but may they get plugged in to be discipled to follow you. And help them, Lord, open their eyes to see things they weren't seeing before. Soften their hearts in ways they've never could imagine. Set them free. And allow them to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And throughout this day, as some of us likely will be gathering with family, I ask that you would help us to be a witness to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that we wouldn't lose the opportunity to share the great commission that we saw the instructions to do so. And guide us, whether that means to be in deed or in word, show us how to make an impact on those around us. We ask for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. In a moment, I'm going to unofficially dismiss you. And what I mean by that is you have a handout. And at the bottom of that handout are some discussion questions. What I'd like for us to do when I release you in just a moment is let's get together in groups of 3 to 5. If you see anybody left out, just go ahead and grab them and bring them into your group. And momentarily, a leader will come along and jump into that group and help lead that discussion. And we'd love for you guys to minister to one another and pray for one another before you go. And if a leader doesn't jump into your group, then choose a volunteer among you to lead the discussion. But let's just minister to one another before we go. But before we do that, you see that there's lilies on the platform here this morning, obviously for Easter. These are actually for you. So if you would like some flowers before you leave, you're welcome to take one of these along with you. They're yours for the taking. Also, if you like cookies or coffee, there's some of that also here. If you go down to the end of the hallway to the back room, there's some cookies back there and some coffee. Take an opportunity to fellowship with one another. If you're new with us this morning, please make sure if you haven't filled out a connection card or turned that in yet, there's a sign back there on the wall that says Welcome Center, and there's some people back there. Please make sure to see them. They'd be glad to take care of you. They have a gift for you. Also, if you're new, you're invited to join the movement to be a part of the body of Christ. And we hope that you'll make it not just an Easter Sunday, but an every Sunday. And if you're not new, you're invited to more fully participate in our movement in ways that maybe you haven't. So before you go to your groups, one last question. Have you ever found yourself wanting to impact other people's lives, but you felt like, I don't know when to push and when to let go and hold back? Have you ever felt that way before? I don't know when to say something and when to not say something. Well, next week as we jump into Matthew 7 of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to help us figure out when we're supposed to push and when we're supposed to pull back. So I hope you'll be a part of that next week. I love you. Thank you for being here. Happy Resurrection Day. Now get in groups of two or three, pray with one another, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. I raise a hallelujah.